This morning is our time when we take a break from our sermon series and our preaching for question and answer time. Whenever you may have some questions that you want to ask, it can be on anything. It could be on what I've been preaching through the book of Acts. It could be on topics of heaven or the second coming, whatever it is that interests you. And we try to answer those. This is an opportunity for you to do that. When we did this the one time, you liked it and said to do that on occasion. And so we try to do it a quarter. And today is the day. I have a microphone here for us again. So if you have a question that you want to ask, just raise your hand and we'll bring it back to you. And that's for so everybody can hear you, and also for the recording so that this gets posted online. They can hear the questions and the answers. I have several that was given to me, I think, by Nick. Nick is always St. Nicholas, I always call him, I think has several questions up here for me. But it's, so if anybody has a question first, then we'll go to maybe some of these that you would like to ask, just raise your hand. I gave you a week to think about it because I had it in the bulletin last week we were going to do this. So I gave you a week to think about it. Is that turned on? Yeah. Three.
So you weren't here all week, so I can ask this question, but it's been on my mind, so I'm going to ask it. You know, over in Israel, there was a peace treaty or whatever. What does that have to do with Revelation?
It's a good question. It's an excellent question about the peace treaty in Israel. In fact, I've been doing some reading on that, and Nick, I had sent you something I had seen online about that. The Bible says, beware whenever everybody's talking peace, peace. And we get our hopes up thinking that there's going to be peace. Now, Scripture says that there will be a peace treaty signed in the last days between the Antichrist and Israel. And it will set up the beginning of the millennium, of the tribulation time, that when that peace treaty is signed and made with Israel, bringing peace in the region, that we're to be aware that it's getting close to the end times. And the world puts a lot of hope in that peace treaty, thinking this is going to bring true and lasting peace. And in fact, you may have even heard those words being said, that this is going to bring everlasting peace in Israel. Have you heard that said? I've said that, heard that said on TV a couple weeks when it was signed. But we need to realize that there's only one who's going to bring peace. And the Scripture says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and there's going to be conflict in the Middle East. And any time that there's a peace treaty signed, we can expect that it's not going to last. There's going to be conflict. And when Jesus returns, that's when the true peace will last in Israel, when he sets up the king. So the peace that's signed now is only temporary, and we need to be aware that it could be, we don't know dates, we can't say dates, but we can look at the Scripture and what it has to say, that it's a false peace that's not going to last and until Jesus comes. So I don't know if that answers it, but it's not. And it could be the signal of the coming of the Lord. The tribulation day is dawning. It's getting close. It could be one of the birth pangs that we're to look for, because that peace treaty will be signed as a signal of the beginning of the tribulation, whether it's this one or whether it's another one, because the treaty is going to be signed with the Antichrist. And we don't know who that is at this point. But we can't rely on this peace treaty to say it's going to bring eternal peace in Israel. That's not going to happen until Jesus comes. Did I answer it? Anyone else? If not, I'm going to have to start with a question that Nick has here. He has many. And I want us first to go to John chapter 14. And it is a good question. These questions that Nick has are good. He put some thought in these. And everybody open there to John 14 first, and then we're going to go to another portion of the book. In John 14, we have Jesus teaching in what's called the upper room discourse. He's teaching after, or right as he's having communion, the Last Supper with his disciples. And he knows the cross is going to be coming a couple hours ahead of this, after this time. He had their last meal together. He's given them some final words of instruction on the coming of the Holy Spirit, on some of the things they're going to face. And he begins by saying, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I'm going." You know the way to the place where I'm going. So that's a setup for this question that we're going to answer. Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And they say, "Well, Jesus, we don't even know where you're going. So how do we know how to get there? And how do we know we're going to be with you?" The question that was given here is, what role does doubt play in a healthy spiritual life? Has anybody here, and let's just be honest by a show of hands, ever struggle with doubts? Ever struggle with doubts? Yeah. And when you struggle with doubts, do you question, do you feel bad about yourself? "Man, I must not be a very good Christian. Why am I having these doubts? Why am I struggling with this?" And sometimes we get down on ourselves with that. And Satan likes to come and beat up on us and make us feel guilty for having doubts. But do you think doubts can be beneficial in our lives sometimes to help us know Jesus better? You think God can use our doubts to transform us into a healthy spiritual life, which is the question? How does doubt play a role in that? Because Jesus, let's go back and look for chapter 14. Jesus had just told them, "I'm going away. I'm gone to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And I'm going to take you to be with me there." And John records that somebody spoke up. And who was it? Thomas. When you hear of Thomas, the disciple, what do you think of? What's he known for? Doubting. What's his nickname? Doubting Thomas. And that's what people think of with Thomas. And so he spoke up and raised a question that probably the rest of the disciples were thinking too, but were not brave enough to ask it. And they said, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. So how do we know the way, or how do we know how to get there? He had a doubt. He had a question. And sometimes doubts are just a matter of, "Lord, I just need to know more information. I just don't understand." Sometimes the scripture says that God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes it's really hard to figure out what God is doing, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to see how the pieces of the puzzle come together and we can't figure it out. What, God, or what are you up to? What's your plan here? And that's what Thomas was saying. "Lord, I don't understand. I don't know where you're going, so how do I know how to get there? I just need more information. I have these doubts." And Jesus answered in verse 6 and said, one of the great verses that becomes well known, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Now Philip speaks up and said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" So we see from this passage in John 14 that doubts and questions here played a great role in developing a healthy spiritual life, because it enabled Jesus to share with them some more information to explain, help them understand. And because of their questioning and their wanting more information, "Lord, we don't know how to get there," Jesus said, "Well, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And through me is the way to the Father, and the truth that I share, and the life that I bring." And it enabled Jesus to reveal more about himself. Then we get to the classic portion. Chapter 20. Let's go to chapter 20 of the same book. Jesus, it's Resurrection Day. Jesus had appeared to his disciples. And Thomas wasn't there. For some reason, Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus appealed to the disciples and said, and they told Thomas, we've seen Jesus, he's alive. And Thomas wasn't there. And so verse 24 says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, that's his other name, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to him, unless I see the nail marks on his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. 1 week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Then we'll see Thomas's response here in a minute. Now, Jesus wasn't present in the room. Get what's going on here. Jesus wasn't present in the room when the other disciples said to Thomas, we've seen Jesus. And Jesus said, well, unless I see him for myself and I put my hands literally in his nail prints in his side, I'm not going to believe it. I saw it on the cross. I saw he died. I know he died. I saw where he was placed in the tomb. And I'm struggling with that. And I just don't believe it. I have to experience that for myself. A week later, Jesus appears and says, Thomas, here I am. Put your hands in my feet, in my side. Touch my nail prints. Stop doubting and believe. What's that tell us about Jesus with doubt? Several things. He knew Thomas's doubt, didn't he? Even though he wasn't present in the room, when Thomas said that to Jesus, Jesus knew about that doubt. So what that tells us, Nick and others, is when we have those doubts, when we have those struggles with our faith, and there's times we may have struggles in our faith, Jesus knows about them. He does. He knows about those doubts you carry, and he understands them. And then when he came to Thomas, he said, here I am. Put your hands here and see if I'm not alive. In that statement, what was Jesus saying? What was Jesus doing to Thomas? Do you see condemnation in that? Or do you see more affirmation? Jesus is affirming. I understand your doubt. I understand what you're struggling. I'm showing myself real to you. And in those times when we have our doubts, Jesus knows them. And he, through his Holy Spirit and through his word now, and through other believers, is how he's speaking to us today, through other believers, through his word and his Holy Spirit, he reminds us and affirms us, I understand your doubt. I'm here to reassure you. And I'm here to say you don't have to doubt, you can believe, because my presence is with you. And I understand that. So stop doubting and believe. And Thomas then said, my Lord and my God. He then responded and said, Jesus, I trust you. I understand that you know. You understand my doubts. You've affirmed that. And you've reminded me that you're present with me in the midst of it, even though I don't fully understand their plan. And now I believe and I trust. That's how it's a step to a healthy spiritual maturity. Because Jesus understands, he affirms it, and he reveals more of himself in it. Does that answer that question? Does that help with anybody when we had those doubts? And the biggest doubts that Satan likes to bring at us is the doubts of whether God forgives us. To me, that's the biggest one that I struggle with. Any of the rest of you ever struggle with that one? Whenever is Satan ever going to forgive me? I mean, is Jesus going to forgive me? Because Satan likes to bring back the past all the time. And the struggle of when I ask for forgiveness, is God going to forgive me for that? And sometimes we struggle with our doubt, are we really saved at times? And Satan likes to make us doubt our salvation. That's a big one. But Jesus says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is risen from the dead, and we confess that and believe in our heart with the mouth we are saved, and that statement And God, we will never, ever perish. And no matter how much Satan likes to bring those doubts in our minds. But we can believe what he says in his word and we can rely on it. Any another question, anybody from out there? Everyone's quiet today. The time change, it gave us an extra hour of sleep. Any others? It's quiet. I'm looking at some of these other questions he gave me. Here's a question he asked. What is the most challenging question about faith you've been asked, and how did you respond? Someone would ask you that question. What is the most challenging question about your faith you've been asked? Can you think of one? What would be the most challenging question of your faith? And how did you respond to that? Nick, what's the most challenging question about faith you've been asked? Yeah.
I was once asked, why are you always so happy? Why are you always laughing? And I thought about that, and it took me by surprise because sometimes we're not aware of our own behavior. And I thought about it, and my answer was that I am filled with a peace that passes all understanding. Let me translate that for you, ma'am. I said, it doesn't matter what happens, God is in control. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. And we heard from Kim this morning regarding Tyler. We heard, and this was not spoken, but Dreama's aunt passed yeah. away this morning.
Yeah.
And when something like this happens, and we're talking about death, we're talking about Thelma's leukemia, we're talking about Barry Bixler's struggle, I stand in amazement at their faithfulness because they have the peace that passes all understanding. It absolutely doesn't matter what happens. If you have trusted Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that gives you the peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah, great answer. And the scripture says, for us to always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. And when people ask you, how can you have that hope or have that peace in the midst of our going through, it's because of Jesus. It's because of his Holy Spirit in our life. And he gives us opportunities to point people to him, and that's what we should always seek to be doing, is pointing people to Jesus so that people can know him. So the biggest leading here today that we're talking about is those doubts. And when we do struggle with those doubts and those questions that we have, bring them to Jesus. He understands them and he affirms us in those and he uses those to reveal more of himself in a greater way so that we understand and know him better than we did before. And Don't let our doubts drive us away from Jesus, but let us bring them closer to him, because he already knows them. And he knows the doubts we have. He wasn't, like I said, he wasn't present with Thomas in the room, but he knew them, and he knows the doubts we have. And he will affirm us in those if we use them as a way to reveal himself greater. So Satan likes to bring those doubts in our way. He likes to keep us pulled down, and he cannot. Jesus said his part of his strategy is to steal, kill, and destroy, those three things. And he can't take our life, because we belong to Jesus. We're secure in his hand. When we're saved, we're secure there. And he can't take our life. But he sure can steal our joy at times. And he can steal our peace when we're not abiding in the Spirit. And he can steal our joy by instilling those doubts and making us doubt. And when he does, realize that and bring it to Jesus. And Jesus will affirm us in those. So if you didn't get, you have another question, think of it for the next time we do this 3 months from now. We didn't talk too much about current events, just a little bit there about what's going on in the Middle East, but keep that in prayer. The Bible says when you see, Israel is always the key. And so you always keep your eye on Israel when it comes to the Middle East and what's happening there, because Israel is the key. And you know, that God's nation is Israel, and he is going to return to restore his kingdom there and to redeem Israel as a whole. So when you hear peace, 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 just be aware, Jesus says, because there is no true peace until Jesus comes. So let's close this time together, and thank you for those questions that you had. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning, and that we can just share informally around your word. And we can learn from one another, and we can learn from your word. And in those times when Satan likes to instill doubt, sometimes he likes also not to instill the doubt, but he also sometimes likes to beat up on us and make us think, boy, if we doubt, we must not be a strong believer. But you didn't condemn Thomas for his doubts. You met him in those, and you reaffirmed that, and you revealed more of yourself to him. His response was, my Lord, my God, I understand now. I trust you. And so, Lord, in those times of doubting, we just ask that you who understand and know those, when we can't figure out your way, when it doesn't make sense to us, when we're saying, Lord, what are you up to? Why are you doing this? Through your word and through your Spirit, just reaffirm and show us a greater way of who, greater realization of who you are, that our faith in you grows stronger and we understand you better as we continue to walk with you. So thank you, Lord, that you love us in the midst of our doubts, and you love us through those doubts. And you bring us to that sense of peace and acceptance. And Lord, may we, whenever we are asked, why do we have the hope that we have in the midst of a world that seems spinning chaotic, out of control, that it's because of you. And because our feet are planted strong in the solid rock of Christ, the unchanging one, and our Redeemer and our Savior. So Lord, may we go from here carrying that hope and that peace with us, walking after you this week. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.